Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. There's a very poignant phrase I found in the book of Revelation that has always touched my heart. At numerous occasions, the word of the Lord said, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." And it's so important that we have the ability to hear what God is saying, not only to His church, but to us personally, that we have to have the spiritual hearing, our spiritual hearing, attuned to what God is speaking to us. And we know from the experience of Elijah, God doesn't shout from the mountaintops. His voice is not heard like a loud, fearful peal of thunder as the Israelites heard when he was demonstrating his power and awesomeness on Mount Sinai as he was preparing to give the law, the old covenant to Moses. But as Elijah experienced, it wasn't in the rain or the wind or the thunder or the earthquake. It was in the still small voice. And so before we even get into the message, I'd like to pray that we would have ears to hear what God is speaking to us individually in our own lives. And while He speaks, it's true in generalities, He speaks sometimes commands and attitudes of heart that we all must possess. Yet He also, because He's a very personal God, He speaks in very specific, direct ways, only addressed to us, so He can guide our footsteps in the paths of righteousness. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to You with brokenness of heart, a humility of spirit. And Lord, we want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. We want to hear, Lord, what You are speaking to our hearts. Lord, for most healthy humans, Lord, we do have natural hearing, and that is a blessing from You. But Lord, we're asking that the spiritual hearing that You would speak by the Spirit of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, to our innermost being, our heart, our spiritual man, that You would cause the deafness, the inability to wait before You, the restlessness, the strife, all the things that have kept us so restless and active, Lord, that we would be able to know the rest that You have ordained for the people of God. And Lord, that we would indeed have ears to hear no other voice but Yours. You said, Lord, in Your word, Jesus said that no other voice will they follow. Your sheep know Your voice. And so, Father, we thank You that You've given us the ability to hear what You're speaking to our hearts, to our lives, and to Your church. We ask all this, Lord, that You would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, beloved. Well, God's calling. He's speaking to whomsoever would have ears to hear. And I'd like to read just three passages of Scripture found in Isaiah 52. In fact, it seems God is always doing that. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, He called to Adam in the garden. He says, "Where are you?" They were hiding because He doesn't want to have to search for us. He will. He'll go to the ends of the sea, the uttermost parts of the sea. Yea, David said, "Though I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me." So God is wanting us, when He speaks, that we can hear what He's saying. He's a God of love and a God of faithfulness, a God of loving kindness and mercy. So let's read these three verses that God was speaking through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 52, those first three verses. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. I'll pause for a moment. He's telling his people to awake and to put on the strength that God has given and the beautiful garments. And of course, we can understand what those are, the garments of salvation, the garments of praise and worship. And he's saying that it is his intention that no more the unclean, the uncircumcised, that which would defile or sully or bring reproach and sin would come into that holy city. He says, a second command, shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down. Obviously, they've been in the dust, and he's calling them to arise, which is a position of strength, a position of readiness, if you will, a preparation for activity. And then he says, sit down. That is, of course, a place of rest because there is a rest to the people of God. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. They were captive, and he's saying, you have the ability. There are bands around your neck that are restricting you, holding you back. Loose yourself. You have that ability. For thus saith the Lord, verse 3, you've sold yourself for naught, for nothing, and ye shall be redeemed without money. Praise God, and without price. So, God is calling us today, and you know what? Human nature hasn't changed. What he speaks to Israel, even though we are centuries apart from when those words were spoken, they speak directly to our lives today. God is calling all of his people in this hour. He's calling you and me. He's calling his church to walk with him, a walk which will set us free from every bondage, from the bands of our necks, if you will, in the power of his Holy Spirit. What do we see in these few verses? Well, apparently, Zion was in a state of sleep. They were oblivious to the presence of God and the desire of God that was so near to them and wanted to help them. They were asleep to his statements of loving kindness and willingness to help them and to free them. And just because human nature hasn't changed, many in the world today, many in the church today are asleep to the mighty blessings of God, the great things that God wants to do in our behalf. Many are at ease in their own selfish ease. They've forgotten the things of God. And so what the Lord saw in Zion really was a state of degradation. He called her in that second verse to shake herself from the dust. What does that mean? Well, God made Adam from the dust of the earth, but that dust was composed of many grains, speaking in a spiritual sense, of worldliness, of what? Sin, unbelief, faithlessness, selfishness, pride, stinginess, rebellion, unforgiveness, anger, and all of these things can be found today in the heart of man, even in God's children. And they were willfully and blindly unable to see the blessings that God had for them. And as we look at Zion, she was in a state of captivity. She didn't have any power. She wasn't blessed. She was self-bound, if you will. And God said, shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. That required activity and response on her part. And beloved, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is speaking to his church today. And today, many are bound, even those that name the name of Christ. They're bound by themselves. They refuse the waters of Shiloh that flow so gently. And they willingly and perhaps ignorantly wrap themselves in the bondage of what? Rituals and man-made doctrine and churchianity, everything but a real and vital relationship with the Lord Jesus. They had a love of pleasure, perhaps. They had an attitude of ease. And they were full of fear. And they were asleep to God's word. But the first thing Zion had to do was to awake, arise from sleep. The second thing she had to do was to shake off. That means, that implies that there were bondages, there were things that were hindering her, that she had the ability, not that God needed to do it, she had to willingly be aware and shake it off. And then the third thing Zion had to do was to put on what? Put on thy strength, O Jerusalem. And that strength that she was called to put on was obviously not her strength, but the strength of the Lord. And beloved, this is what we're commanded to do today. Without his strength, without his covering, we're very weak and unable in ourselves. The Apostle Paul had put on God's strength when he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, my time has just flown in. We'll pick this up on tomorrow's broadcast right where we left off, because God had further instructions for Zion as well as for us. So I thank you for joining me. And as always, I do give you an invitation to write either by mail or email. Share whatever needs you might have, and know that I will personally respond, confirm receipt. And if you desire a personal response by mail, be sure to include your mailing address. I love you. Thank you so much for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.